This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
When I think of a street corner that stands out for me, I was saying earlier, one of the ones that does the most is the corner of Hoddle Street and Bridge Road in Richmond. I know if you're turning from Hoddle Street left into Bridge Road and there's a left turn lane, there's also a bit of a tiny park there and there's a brick wall. And it used to be an engine room for Melbourne's cable tramways. And whenever I drive past it, I feel sad. I feel like we demolished this historical building and this engineering stuff just so that we could have a left turn lane into Bridge Road. But it's a significant street corner. I think there's a plaque there sort of, you know, commemorating what was standing on that corner. So there's so many important street corners. That's just one of them. They're all over Melbourne, and no one knows them better than Melbourne's favourite historian, Robert Annear, just to talk about where are these bizarre, mostly forgotten stories of street corners. And you know where you'll find them? You'll find them in her new book. It's called Corners of Melbourne. Robin, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
Now, you've dedicated your book to a person dubbed a Melbourne ephemerist. Tell us a bit about that.
I met Brian Watson when I was researching one of the tall buildings in Melbourne that was demolished in the 1980s, and he was just a great connector. So he actually was a member of the Victorian Ephemeral Society or something, who get together and they collect things like that are meant to be thrown away, so ephemera, wrappers and handbills and bank books and even letters, would you believe, and people's diaries I've bought at the Ephemera Fair. But Brian put me in touch with someone who had kept some original plans of the building in question. So he was this great connector of keepers of stuff that you would think had long disappeared.
It's funny you mention that, because I often think, you know, as we're throwing out rubbish, I think over the years, imagine if I just kept all of my rubbish that I'd thrown out. You go through it now. I'm not talking about the rotting stuff, but in terms of, like you said, the wrappers, all these sorts of things.
The tram tickets.
It would be an amazing story, wouldn't it? You'd have a story for every little item that you collected, but we just discard them.
We do, by and large, although I reckon just about everybody, no matter how many times they've moved house, has a drawer in their house, at least a drawer, that has some of these things in the bottom of it that they've somehow managed to hang on to, and that, you know, when they have grandkids, they're going to say, this was my first, you know, whatever. So I reckon everybody has a handful of that stuff at least. I have a lot more than a handful, I have to admit.
I can imagine. I've got a whole pile of radio stickers from the 1980s. I don't know why I've just kept them, but they're in my drawer. I throw out heaps of stuff, but not those. There you go. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the book. Yeah. What made you come up with a book about the street corners of Melbourne?
It was the real reason is that I had to come up with an idea in a hurry, because I'd been given a deadline and I'd kind of wasted a lot of time. And for a while I thought I was going to write a book about pillar boxes, because I'm really fascinated with pillar boxes and the whole historical stuff around the postal service and so on. But it just proved kind of unwieldy. I couldn't herd that particular bunch of cats in time. So I thought, well, you know, street corners, which is where pillar boxes historically were also a site traditionally for all sorts of civic honeypots, like pillar boxes, newsstands, lamp posts and newsboys and fruit sellers, and it turned out for everything else as well. And it's also, of course, a place where people traditionally arrange to meet, or maybe meet by accident when one comes around the corner. Things collide at corners. They're a kind of hotspot. And I figured that there must be kind of, you know, without getting kind of woo-woo about it, some kind of psychic residue there at any street corner in Melbourne, or in fact any place. And I just set out to find out some stories to connect to particular street corners, because you were talking about things that are gone, buildings that are gone. You know, Melbourne is full of things that are no longer there, but you can remember them by reconstructing the story about them. So you go back to that corner and go, I know what happened here or what used to be here. And that's the kind of historian I am. That's the kind of business I'm in. So this book's about the corner stories.
Robin, as you were talking then, I was thinking, imagine if you had some sort of device that could read that psychic energy of history and what's gone on a corner. It was like a Geiger counter. You know how to sound. It would go off on the street corners, wouldn't it? It would just go crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, even just thinking about it from the point of view of pillar boxes, I mean, imagine the emotions that have coursed through the portals of a pillar, any pillar box, because, you know, back in the day, I'm talking the 19th century, pillar boxes had to be emptied numerous times every day because so many thousands of letters were going through them. So just imagine, you know, the emotional and the psychic energy and the, you know, the love and probably the hate too that passed through passed through those spots. So, you know, street corners, you know, the lovers who met there, etc.
Are there any street corners that still have old historical pillar boxes on them?
There is. Well, I know of one that springs immediately to mind. That's the corner of Brunswick Street and Victoria Parade. There's a fabulous old pillar box, a historic pillar box on the corner of that street. And there's a few others through Fitzroy and Carlton, and I imagine through the inner suburbs in general. But Fitzroy and Carlton were really big big postal suburbs, and interestingly, over time, and I document this in the book, they were also big larrikin suburbs from 1870 onwards for a good 20 years or so. And the people posting letters and the larrikins basically used to duke it out for the street corners because the people wanted to get to the pillar box to post their letters, and there were lounging larrikins all over the pillar box. You know, they used to piff their cigarette butts and things like that into the pillar box in the most outrageous act of vandalism that Melbourne knew.
You know what I want to do, Robin? I want to get a remote microphone one day with you. Let's get a psychic. Let's go down to these pillar boxes, see what happens. Back to the book. The book opens with a very sad story of a man who broke his leg slipping on an orange peel, and I think this was around about 1860, when apparently new flagstone paving stones were combined with discarded orange peels was a serious hazard. What's that story about?
This guy, and his name escapes me, but let's just call him this guy who came out here and was a journalist and a minor poet. He, you know, he married and had a happy family. But, yes, he came to grief on the flagstones of Melbourne around 1860 when he slipped on a bit of orange peel that had been thoughtlessly discarded by someone who'd bought an orange at a street corner from a fruit vendor who used to gather there and just walked along the footpath and gaily strewing their orange peel as they went. And this is what people did. There were no bins. You were meant to chuck your rubbish into the street gutter, the big drains that ran either side of the street. But people didn't do that. And so, yes, when you had leather-soled shoes, slippery paving stones, and then added the juicy ingredient of the orange peel, it was easy to fall and come to grief. So this happened many times during orange season, which was kind of winter into spring each year.
Wow.
And this guy fell, broke his leg, and his life just went to crap. He lost his job. I mean, he drank. He lost his job. His marriage broke up. He ended up living in a seedy hotel and drinking poison. And that was the end of him. And it all started with an innocuous bit of orange peel on the footpath.
Orange peel. Wow. Now, but you don't just limit yourself to the danger of oranges. You know, we've got runaway horses as well and speeding cars. What did they do to pedestrians? Yeah.
Well, you know, life as a pedestrian is still tricky. We are the last in the pecking order, but and it was ever thus. But with runaway horses, or just cab drivers in particular, or cab drivers and Collingwood cab drivers specifically, they were the wildest in terms of their driving. You really had to be careful, even on the footpath. Sometimes the cabs would mount the footpath as they took the corners too tight. Or mount the crossings, as they call them, which were simply these little arched or timber bridges that crossed these wide gutters. You'd be standing on there waiting to cross, and a cab would come around the corner and shave the toes off your shoes. But yeah, people were constantly getting knocked down in the case of adults, and knocked down and run over in the case of kids. It sort of seemed to be if you were a kid, you were more likely to have the wheels pass over you. And when you consider, you know, the weight of some of these vehicles, they're big metal wheels, it was pretty calamitous. And this was, you know, just an everyday thing. And it was most likely to happen at corners because vehicles took them at speed. There used to be a sign in Melbourne at the crossing saying, slow down, over crossing, but there was very little heeded. There were no traffic lights, no traffic police. You just took your chances when you stepped anywhere near the road.
Whatever happened to that? I remember when my parents would drive down the Mornington Peninsula in the 70s and 80s, there was a sort of like, it was like a traffic light, but it was a needle that went around like a clock, and it had the, you know, the green, the orange and the red painted on the face of the clock. And wherever the needle was at the time, or the hand, was whether you stopped. You know, there was no light as such.
Oh, good grief. Yeah. Well, that's news to me. That's news to me.
I think there might be one out the front of the RACV building or something in the city, but that's probably worth having a look at. But
I'll look out for that.
Look out for that one. Where did you get all these stories from, Robin? They're amazing.
Newspapers.
Right.
Newspapers historical newspapers are a fascination to me, not just because of what they hold for us to read now, but when you consider that they were what people knew at the time of what was happening in their city. So they were there. Their source of information, apart from word of mouth, this is where anybody's news came from. There was no competition with radio, TV, let alone the internet. So these were the voice of the information source. And so I love to read these newspapers and find out, you know, how people knew what they knew, what they believed. And these Australian, Victorian, Melbourne newspapers are available for free online via Trove Newspapers, this great portal via the National Library of Australia. They're fantastic, digitised, searchable. So I searched for On the Corner and Street, and, you know, all this stuff was just served up to me and I could choose from it.
We're chatting with historian, podcaster and author Robert Anir about her new book, Corners of Melbourne. Robin, I've got to ask you, what's your favourite street corner?
I would have to say, well, two. One would be Spring Street and Little Lonsdale Street, because I worked on one of those archaeological digs up there at Little Lon as a volunteer back in the 1980s, the first dig they had there, and it's a place that is just vivid with memory for me, memory of the fun I had there, but also of the history that we revealed. So that is fantastic. And the other place would be the corner of Burke and Queen Street, a memory that isn't mine, but came out of the research I did for this book about the poor woman who was walking along around 1870 along Queen Street, minding her own business, when she was hit in the head with a great wheel of Gippsland cheese that was being thrown from the back of a cart to the doorway of a ham and beef shop on the corner of Burke Street. And it struck her in the head. Luckily, she was wearing a bonnet, so that when she fell to the ground, her fall was broken by the soft velveteen bonnet, and she didn't come to too much harm.
But so she was okay.
I would have thought.
These are the most amazing stories that we do not know about. Robbie from Mornington has just said, first intersection in the CBD I think of is Elizabeth and Collins Street, way back when that area of the city was like a river with cars and tree seats floating down towards Spencer Street Station. Yes, I'm ancient. Yeah. That was 1972.
Yeah, that corner that Robbie's describing, that was the kind of flood centre. Still is in a sudden downpour. That is the flood centre of Melbourne. That's where a lake in the very earliest days of Melbourne. There used to be a permanent lake there. But yeah, so the corner of Elizabeth and Collins Street is just the place to watch if a sudden downpour comes in the summer.
Robin, you've got us hooked in. If we want to find out more stories, we need to read the book. The book is called Corners of Melbourne. I've had a look through it. It is absolutely fascinating. The stories are amazing. There's heaps of more stories, like the poor lady that got hit by the wheel of cheese in the book. I mean, it's not funny. I'm glad she survived. Robin, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It is funny. Our newsreader laughed over there when you were talking about it. Thank you for joining us on Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me, Warren.
Thank you. That is historian, podcaster and author Robert Anir. Her book is out now. It's called Corners of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.